foundational tools to develop biblical worldviews. Welcome to Mentoring Matters. With the world culture invading the church, it is vital that we establish some deeper roots in biblical doctrine to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Join us now as we let the Word of God give us foundational tools to develop and maintain a biblical worldview.
Hi there. Thanks for joining us for Mentoring Matters. This is Sharon Hoskins. I'm here with Janie Ratzliff. And recently, Janie brought up the Gallup poll that declared only 24% of Christians believe the Bible in totality and use it as a final authority for their Christian living. And in light of that, we wanted to focus on the sufficiency of scriptures and how important it is to rely on the scriptures as believers. And so we are talking about the scriptures being complete, being adequate, and the scriptures being enough for our lives. And so when we wrap all of that up, it's about having the security in a relationship with God, knowing that He loves me, I can trust Him. He cares for me. He is my strong tower. He is my fortress, my redeemer, my helper, my security. And in that, I have a place of living that goes beyond whether I should buy a Buick or a Mercedes, pursue a career, or be a stay-at-home mom.
Well, and when those are threatened, then you do have your anxieties and your perplexities, don't you? And so
Sure.
Well, and then here is the solution. So let's just throw in a little practical application in establishing our foundation.
Okay.
So let's just say that you know that all those things are available for you, but you're not able to latch on to them right now.
Right.
All right. Then in Isaiah 30, it says, and so I'm just going to read this to you as though God's talking to you. Well, Sharon, if you would return and rest, I have your deliverance. If you would just lean on me in quietness and confidence, that will be your strength. Oh, but Sharon, you said, no, I can't do that. I must trust in the circumstances that's around me. I must see the deliverance from the things that are made available to me from this world. And then the Lord says, well, then you're going to have a tough time, Sharon. Now, that's liberally paraphrasing Isaiah 30:15.
Okay.
But He's already given a solution for any anxiety that one has, and that is you've got to take your heart and return it back to me and rest in me, the very things you said that He is to you, your confidence, your shields, your protector, your fortress, your refuge, your Father God. So, having said all of that, there's some implications that we can have about knowing the scriptures, and let's just touch on those.
Okay.
Okay? God's word is a necessary and an essential component of our life. It is our daily guide and our nourishment for our body, our soul, and our spirit. So it can help us not only think different, it can help us to feel different. And it can strengthen us because there is a proverb that says, if you have an illness, your spirit can sustain you, but a broken spirit, who can bear? So the Word of God can help sustain you in a physical or emotional illness, perplexity, being overwhelmed, having a loss of a loved one, or some of the injustices that people are experiencing now. But a broken spirit, who can bear?
Right.
So the need that we need to protect every part of our body so that we can stay and live successfully in an age where we have been born.
Right.
All right. Then how about you giving us another one?
Well, I think it's important that we know that the Word of God is not in addition to anything. Like philosophy, it is standalone sufficiency.
Now, we don't want to sound like we're enemies of philosophy. I believe that the secular philosophy of life can help diagnose your sin patterns.
Oh.
Because man's wisdom, that's about as high as we can go. And that's a lot of what's happening today. People are using philosophies to look for solutions.
Mm-hmm.
A philosophy can help you diagnose a wrong, but a philosophy does not have the answers for the troubles that plague us.
Okay.
But man's wisdom, man's philosophies cannot be used to find solutions in addition to the Word of God.
Okay.
And then also,
that makes sense.
And also methods. You know, you've heard me visit with you in the past about saying, yeah, I don't like methods, right?
Or formulas. Step by steps.
Yeah. Yes, yes. But there is a time that the Word of God gives us tenets or outline, which the Scriptures talk about precept upon precept, line upon line.
Mm-hmm.
So the Scriptures do have a precept that we can build upon. But we're not going to go to man's methodology.
Right.
Secular counseling mm-hmm. cannot give us the answers to an eternal problem of sin.
That's right. So now, Jenny, the third implication of the Scriptures that we're talking about today is God's Word allows a person to view life through the eyes of God. In John 1:1-4, I'm going to read. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men.
Well, I think with John 1:1-4, we can continue on with Matthew 5, where in verse 14 it says, Now you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a mountain or a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but the light is to be seen by all. And so if Jesus Christ is the light of the world, and then we are told to be the light of the world, I think we now have our mission assigned to us. I think we have our calling.
Well, think about it, Janie. If we're talking about the Word of God being Jesus Christ, and He has told us to eat this Word, to ingest it, then that is how we become the light of the world. If we're not reading our Scriptures and we're rejecting it and we're neglecting it and we're offended by it, then we're not ingesting it and allowing it to come out and be a light to the earth.
I don't know if you knew the little chorus, this little light of mine.
Oh, yes.
I'm going to let it shine.
Uh-huh.
All right.
Yeah.
And then the second verse is hide it under a bushel. No. And that's what it says. We aren't going to put it under a basket. That is Matthew 5:15, singing the Scriptures.
Right.
No, we're going to let it shine. And then the third one was we won't let Satan blow it out.
That's right.
And that's really where we're having to stand today. We're having to be a light. And it's never too late when you are willing to come under the authority of the Scriptures and Jesus Christ to let your light start to shine.
Mm-hmm.
And as we can see in history, when people came under persecution, they were scattered, but they became bold when the persecution hit them. Their hearts.
Well, the disciples started praying for boldness,
that's
too.
That's right. And so that's where we need to be willing to have prayer, is that the body of Christ will rise up.
Yes.
They will see where we have been complacent, to where we have let the light go out.
And neglected the Word of God.
And once again, the exhortation that we need to be functioning as one body, that we're focused on building one another up and protecting one another.
Right, because the Word of God isn't divided. Jesus Christ is not divided. And, you know, we've talked about every man doing what's right in his own eyes and everybody having their own truths. But the Word of God is truth, and we can depend on that. We can rely on that. It is a foundation that we can stand upon. And that's the fourth one on our list, that the Word of God is truth. And in Matthew chapter 7, he talks about building your house upon a rock. The wise man builds his house upon the rock, but a foolish one builds their house upon the sands. And when we're building our foundation of our life, our worldview, upon unproven truths, upon facts that
can change,
or feelings that waver, then we are tossed to and fro. Mm-hmm. And so we can count on the Word of God, because the Word of God is Jesus Christ.
Well, and to carry that a point further, the Word unifies. But the Lord then says that He comes with a sword that will divide. Now, the Word's not dividing to create dissension, but your choice on how you choose to respond to the Word
right.
can cause division. Because if you choose to go the world's wisdom, you're making the choice to have a division.
Right. And when he talks about that the word of God is sharper than a double-edged sword, dividing the bone and the marrow, mm-hmm. that is the flesh and the spirit. And they'll always be in contention with one another, correct?
Correct.
We will always fight against the spirit. Our flesh does not want to surrender to the spirit because it means hardship. It means pain. It means we don't get our own way. You know, it's humiliating maybe at times. We have to swallow our pride.
And that's one reason that we need to be slow in our listening and to wait quietly, because I love to say that if fear or flesh knocks at my front door, faith goes and answers it.
Oh, that's really good.
All right.
Yeah.
And says, we have a full house and you're not welcomed.
Right.
So John 14:6 goes back and says that no one can come unto the Father except through me. And my flesh can get very offended at that, because we want to believe there's something good in us, Sharon.
Right.
We've got problems. Yeah, we've got flesh. And yeah, we need Jesus. But there's just something in us that if we act better, talk better, do better, that we can make ourselves better.
Right.
But the Lord is explicit that we can't come to the Father, we can't enjoy the Father, we can't grow in the Father and the Lord Jesus if we think there's something that we can do of ourselves. Now, we can be in obedience to what the Word says, but we also have to remember the Romans road, where it says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God.
Well, this is why we as a Christian society are having a hard time with the Word of God, because it requires us to look at that and see ourselves. You know, if we look at James, James tells us that the Word is like a mirror. It shows us ourselves. It shows us who we are. And a lot of times we don't like what we see when we open the Word of God, because it reflects, you know, the sin nature of who we really are. And so we just close it and put it to the side.
Well, we live in a society, Sharon, to where we're taught you can be whatever you want to be if you apply yourself. The idea of being helpless and hopeless rings synonymous with victim.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
So you don't want to appear helpless and hopeless. But the Bible says in Romans 3, there's none righteous, no, not one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks after God. They have all turned aside. They've all become unprofitable. And there's no one who does good, no, not one. So that leaves us pretty vulnerable.
Mm-hmm.
And yet when we put on the life of Jesus Christ in salvation, then our helplessness and hopelessness is then in Him, and we become mighty warriors.
All right, Janie. So God's Word is a necessary and essential component of life. It is our daily guide and nourishment for body, soul, and spirit. Number two, God's Word is not in addition to philosophy and methodology. Thirdly, God's Word allows us to view life through God's eyes. Fourth, God's Word is truth. We can depend on it as the solid, firm foundation for our life. And then last is that God's Word is the final and supreme authority for us in all that pertains to faith and establishes the standard for normal godly living. We're going to take a quick break here, but when we come back, let's talk about how we can learn to respond to God's Word. Stick around. We'll be right back. You're listening to Sharon Hart's Mentoring Matters on KWXC 88.9 FM, Grove, Oklahoma. With the world's culture invading the church, it is vital that we establish some deeper roots in biblical truth. To hear this program again, or to find resource materials, you can go to SharonHartz.org. That's S-H-A-R-I-N, Hartz.org. Hey, thanks for staying with us. This is Sharon Hoskins, here with Janie Ratzliff. And Janie, you know, understanding that the Word of God is the person of Jesus Christ really brings a whole nother dimension to
being offended by the word and neglecting the scriptures. In John chapter 1, verse 14, it says, "And the word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." And so, if we as Christians neglect the scriptures, change the scriptures, be offended by the scriptures, we're all saying we're offended by Jesus. And then when we go over to John 6, chapter 6, we find where Jesus says, you know, "Does this that I say offend you?"
I think that he does make that quite a issue because he knew that he had some hard sayings.
Uh-huh.
Do you know that probably two of the most dangerous men that have ever walked on earth was Jesus and the Apostle Paul? Okay, because what they spoke was life. And for anyone that rejected what they spoke, they were bringing upon themselves their own condemnation.
Right. Well, what is he saying? He says in 56, he says, "He that eats my flesh and drinks my blood dwells in me and I in him." So this is the flesh he's talking about.
Well, and you know, Sharon,
the word of God.
If you take that literally, you can say, is he practicing cannibalism?
Well, don't you think that they probably thought that it was a literal thing?
If they just was using earthly wisdom and taking the words at face value without looking as to who they were really speaking to. But you know, Sharon, sometimes the Lord has to speak to us in parables because we cannot understand, and he proclaims a given situation. Everybody understands eating and drinking.
Right.
And so what do we do when we eat and drink? We take in the nutrients. We take in the nourishment that we need for life-giving while we live here.
Right.
So we need to recognize that he was giving them a symbolic message in practical means that they could understand, but instead of listening with their ears and with their heart, they're saying, "What are you saying? You are offensive."
Right.
And it was so to such an extreme that they chose to react rather than respond that it says in, I think it's verse 61, he says, "Now that I've said these things, does this offend you?" And yeah, it did offend them to the point that it says that in verse 66, that from that time only, when they had this lesson and this confrontation, the disciples went back and walked with him no more. Yeah. Now, Sharon, one of the things I get from this right now is that they didn't ponder anything in their heart. They didn't go back and ask for more questions. Would you please explain this? They just made a irrational decision.
Well, they murmured. They murmured within themselves. That says that in 61, that they were murmuring.
There was a complaint. And that's another good lesson. When you start to murmur and complain, it shuts down the power of the Spirit working within you if you are a believer.
Right.
And, of course, if you are not a believer and you continue to murmur and complain, it simply makes your heart become more hardened and you become more callous. And yet it's so hard sometimes to accept absolute truth. We want to sugarcoat it, but the student that really wants to know is going to dig. And I think in our secular society, they're called the valedictorian, are they not?
Yes, yes.
You see, they just don't slide by the class. In some courses in high school as well as college, if you made a good daily grade, then you got to clap out of the 6-week final or the 9-week final. Remember that?
Yes.
So a good talker that engaged a lot of conversation within the classroom could still get a good mark, even though they were really manipulating and using their words as craftiness to the professor. And if he or she was not astute to that, that person could make straight A's and never have to take the final.
Right. I'm with you. I'm tracking with you.
Okay, good, because that's what I used to do.
Oh, Jamie.
Well, The Lord says, confess your faults. I have repented of that, and now my words are used more wisely to proclaim rather than to defame or to deceive.
Okay.
But we can do that if we can see a way to scoot around and stay in our comfort zone.
So that's what we're doing as believers, as Christians, that we don't want to hear the hard sayings, so we're opting for the food, fun, and fellowship. We're opting for all the
easy
niceties
road.
And the things that we can do to slide by in our Christian walk.
And still not fail in life, see?
Right.
Not fail the course of life.
Right.
But not have to go through what the Lord has told us repeatedly. He said, and unto this you were called. And what he's been talking about is suffering.
Right.
And we are in rebellion as a nation because we think we have suffered unjustly.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying that there has not been some incredible injustices and suffering.
But that's been on all levels.
Yes.
Really. We can look at every child who has been molested, beaten,
abandoned.
I mean, those children grow up with tremendous hurt and neglect and suffering.
And sometimes, you know, we make a big deal out of there being an absent father in the home. And yes, that is a big deal. But sometimes we have a passive father that comes home every night, but does not engage their children in training them to be prepared for life.
Right.
They have a passive temperament. And that is another form of abandonment that is very prevalent in across the board.
Right. Right.
And then I love this because, you know, I love to talk.
Yeah.
And Peter did, too. Remember, he was the one that opened mouth, insert foot.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Very acquainted with that. But he says, for this reason, I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things, though you know them and they're even established in you. But as long as I am in this tent or I'm in this body, I need to stir up these truths by constantly reminding you. And then he goes down a couple more verses and he again says that I always remind you of these things because I want you to be able to remember them after I'm no longer here to encourage you.
Right.
So part of where we are is if we are not under sound teaching in a biblical Bible-centered church, if we do not have the availability to have access to the Word of God, then we will let the cares and the affairs of this world rob us of the very truths that we need to remember.
That's right.
And by the way, Sharon, that is a good point for justifying food, fun, and fellowship. Okay? Because there are times that we can share a hamburger. Mm-hmm. As we spend time reminding one another of the truths that are becoming real to us as we are in the Word daily, and then even sharing anecdotal experiences that can encourage us. You recently shared one with me that we don't have time for today that blessed my heart to no end because I saw the sovereignty of God working in your life through prayer first, and then supernatural experiences and timing and people to answer your prayer.
Right.
All right?
Yeah.
And so when we fellowship with one another, and that is our focus, then fellowship is delightful and commanded. But when we just get together to gab, then that takes us away of where our focus should be. And then food becomes an object. And then we know too much food results in...
Yeah. And what we should be eating is right here, the Word of God. And allowing Jesus Christ to make himself known through the Scriptures, that we would ingest those things and apply them to our lives and allow our lives to be a light to the world. Because in Matthew, Jesus said, "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a basket, but on a candlestick, and it gives light to all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven.
Yes, and you know, in this passage that we're in Matthew 5, there's two things here that's actually happening. And in verse 13, it tells us that we are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its savor or flavor, how shall it then be seasoned? You can't go back in and give it an injection.
Right.
Okay, and then it says that the salt of which we are supposed to be is good for nothing.
Oh.
Okay, and that and certainly that doesn't mean as God's child for
right,
all of eternity.
Right,
we
exactly.
want to hold that in its context. But then here is the last part of that sentence, and is trampled underfoot by men.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you are on any of social media or news with any of our electronic means, you see that happening in the physical.
Right.
And then you see it happening verbally to one another.
Right.
And it's happening to bring down a person's morale, a person's worth of who they are, a person looking for meaning of how to continue. And after you're trampled down, they don't get up real quick.
Yeah.
They lay there. Now, the beauty of the whole amount of scriptures and that you're even seeing some, there are other people who will come to that person's aid who's laying bleeding or maybe even unconscious in the streets because of the violence we are experiencing.
Yeah.
And there will be other people that will come help that person get to a point of safety.
One of the great things that is coming out in this lesson for me is the fact that Jesus is the Word. And so for us to be offended by the Scriptures, we're offended by Jesus Christ. And I think that that is very important for us to understand, especially as believers. The sufficiency of the Scriptures is that Jesus Christ is sufficient for your life. And when we neglect our Bible, we neglect Jesus Christ.
Sharon, we have a pamphlet called Blessed Are the Unoffended. Let's put it in our resources
okay.
so that anyone can go to SharonHearts.org and really have a good scriptural teaching on the blessedness of when you choose not to be offended and the consequences of when you choose to be offended.
Okay. I will get that up for us, Janie. And it is so important that we find these resources and that we have these tools to be able to evaluate things that we believe and where we stand and checking our hearts so that we can grow closer to the Father. And really, that's why mentoring matters. Mentoring Matters is a discipleship program of SharonHearts.org. Join a community of Christians seeking to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, with resource materials available for the journey at SharonHearts.org. That's SHARIN Hearts.org.